WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you.
Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
Sat outside my front window. This story's going somewhere. He's well hung and I am hanging on.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or on Twitch, we greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com as well. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory.
Sure.
Come to wildtalkradio.com, rockradioshow.com, gerwick.net. You can tweet us at wildtalkradio, at rockradioshow, at Lynn's Ward. Come to twitch.tv/WTR live. We're live to talk Super Showdown and more.
And, well, if you get a moment, we also got to talk to HGTV stars Ken and Anita Corsini from HGTV's Flipper Flop Atlanta. We aired the interview tonight at 8 p.m., so you can check out the replay on Twitch if you want, or you can download it at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com as well. So you want to make sure you tune into that, because we had a lot of fun talking to them. And their new show debuted tonight.
Yes, they did.
Actually, at 9, so you can catch that on replays on HGTV.
Yep.
So, yay, go them.
Go them. Go Twins.
I can't say that. I'm a Braves fan.
It pained me to say that, but it was funny nonetheless.
Until we become friends with Trevor May, which we never will, we will not say the Go Twins.
Can't really say Go Twins.
Can't do it. I'm a Braves fan. Anyway, like you said, we got news, we got notes, NXT, SmackDown, Tweet of the Week, and we are talking Super Showdown a little later in the show, as well as SmackDown and all your favorites. So we're not going to waste any more time. We're going to jump right into the news by our friends over at Gerwick.net and FightBooth.com. And, well, we have to talk with the biggest news of the week, which is that WWE announced NXT UK will premiere on the network Wednesdays at 8 p.m. British Standard Time, which is 3 p.m. Eastern
currently,
in the U.S.
Currently, until the time change.
Until the time change, you know, obviously. But for right now, it's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's great. You get off work, you can come home and just, there it is. It's already ready to go. You don't have to wait. That's starting on October 17th. So that's huge news. Congratulations to them. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. It's just thinking about it. It's more wrestling.
On a Wednesday.
On a Wednesday. Where we're already watching so much wrestling. No, it's cool. It's cool that it's there. finally they announced it. Kind of had an inkling it was going to drop. The news would drop today, so it's like, all right, cool. We now know the news. We now know the time slot, so it's 8 p.m. local time for them, which is cool. Works. See Pete Dunne and the crew more. So that's cool.
Yes, and quick note about Pete Dunne, because we do have a little news note about him. He is officially now the longest reigning champion in the modern era. He surpassed Brock Lesnar this past week. I believe he was at 506 at last check, so he's probably at 507 or 508 now. So congratulations to him on that. He's the eternal UK champion.
Pretty much.
I love how it's just, yeah.
What am I supposed to add to that? Go, Pete Dunne, go. Bite more people's fingers.
Yes.
All right. Go, Pete Dunne, go. Bite more fingers. Yay. Is that better?
Yes, that's better.
Okay.
Be more enthusiastic.
Show more spirit.
Get your spirit fingers.
Jazz hands.
Anyway, also in exciting news, Chelsea Green has officially signed with WWE. She has already started at the PC, so we should see her on NXT very soon. So congratulations to her.
Woo, woo, woo.
All of you will know, or some of you, I should say, will know Chelsea Green from Impact Wrestling, but also Tough Enough fame. So she's another Tough Enough alumnus to come back into NXT and get signed. And hopefully she has nothing but great things ahead of her.
You know it.
And she gets to be with her boyfriend, which, you know.
Woo, woo, woo.
And she had no help, by the way, from supposedly from Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
And just a quick indie note. Don Callis is done as a full-time announcer for New Japan, so they will be filling that spot.
There's going to be a rotating group of people doing the color commentary for New Japan because of, I guess, his ties with Impact now. It's a weird situation going on there, so we'll see. He may be called back. He may be fully done. Who knows? But times are changing for Don Callis, who was one of the presidents of Impact Wrestling, which we're going to talk about here in just a moment.
Yep. And up next... Well, you want to go ahead and do Bound for Glory picks?
No, let's get the Blame Brent out of the way first.
All right, Blame Brent.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulder snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
So, everyone's favorite sass master, Kevin Owens, has gone out for knee surgery, so boo earns to that.
With a reported, could be up to 8-month recovery.
# blame Brent.
Well, that'll put him back in time to be with Sammy again.
Yeah, they both can have a hospital bed next to each other.
So, that sucks for Owens, but, I mean, he's been working hard. He deserves a break. Probably not like this, but, you know, he's able to at least go home and rest up and spend time with his wife and kids, which I know will make him super happy. So, feel better, Kevin.
Yeah, it all depends on the significance of the tear in the knee. It could be 3 weeks, could be 4 months, could be 8 months. It all depends what happens when they get in there, but the recent reports have it between 4 to 8 months. If it's a major ACL, it could be all the way up to 8, maybe even more.
It could be Bray Wyatt time length, where he's just never coming back ever again.
That took 9-10 minutes into the show to work a Bray Wyatt reference into it.
I'm in withdrawal. I have not seen the boy in 2 months.
I have a theory on Bray Wyatt, but I don't want to tell you now. I want to make you wait till later.
I have a theory about it too, but it's certainly not PG, and I certainly can't say it on the show.
Here's a teaser. In our next segment, I'll tell you the theory.
Wow, such a teaser.
Yeah.
Such a tease. All right, Bound for Glory picks.
All right, this Sunday on pay-per-view is Bound for Glory, presented by Impact Wrestling. Their biggest show of the year, their second biggest show of the year, should be a fun show. It will be Eli Drake. Taking on a to-be-announced opponent in an open challenge match. Who you got?
Eli Drake.
I'm going to take TBA. Allie takes on Sue Young. Both are former Knockouts champions. I'm going to go with Sue Young.
Allie.
In a tag team match, Matt Sydal and Ethan Page will take on Rich Swann and Willie Mack.
Swann.
It is for the Impact Wrestling Knockouts Championship. Tessa Blanchard takes on Taya Valkyrie. Tessa just got the belt. I don't think it's time to put on Taya. I'm going to Tessa.
Yeah, Tessa.
It will be Eddie Edwards versus Moose, who's now gone heel. I'm going Moose.
Sure, I'll go Moose too. Why not?
It's Ohio versus everything. David Christ, Jake Christ, and Sammy Callahan versus Brian Cage, Phoenix, and Pentagon Jr. in an OVE rules match. Brian Cage.
I'll go Pentagon.
So we're going the same side. Team Brian Cage. It is Concrete Jungle Deathmatch.
What?
A Concrete Jungle Deathmatch. So, fight on the streets, basically. It will be the Latin American Exchange, LAX, versus the OGs. I'm going LAX, because I think, if I remember correctly, the OGs got the win back at Slammiversary. So I'm going LAX.
Yeah, LAX.
And then your main event, Austin Aries, Johnny Impact, Impact World Championship. Time to put that belt on Johnny Impact. He failed last year at Bound for Glory. This year, it's his time to shine.
And also, Austin has made some comments that were a little embarrassing to everybody involved. So I feel like that could be a good reason to put that on Johnny, but also because Johnny deserves it. Mainly because Johnny deserves it. But yeah, Johnny Impact.
So there are your quick picks for Bound for Glory, airing this Sunday on pay-per-view and the Fight TV app. Also, a quick note about Bound for Glory. That weekend, this weekend, I should mention, one of our favorites, Abyss, goes into the Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Truly deserved. A huge congratulations to him. I mean, like I said, the man has been there from day one. He is the last of the originals to still be in Impact. And he's given his body, his soul, his blood, I think some of his teeth. To this brand to help build it and help keep it alive and float. He's had several opportunities to jump, and he didn't because he believed that much in Impact. So, I mean, if anybody deserves to go in, it's him.
So there you go. And on that note, let's take our first break.
Alrighty, so when we come back, we're going to be talking all about the Mixed Match Challenge, the Mae Young Classic, and NXT.
And a theory on Bray Wyatt.
Right. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back. Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gang bang or something.
Techno gang bang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck?
I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
That's the horse you have, that's the horse you have.
Gundam style. Gundam style.
Oh, not the pelvic thrust. Did Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I know.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I gotta play something else, Rock. I'm going to wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with WrestleTalk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/RackRadioShow.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett, the king of the mountain and founder of Global Force Wrestling, and you're listening to Rack Radio Show.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. We are in our second segment, so we are going to be talking about Mixed Match Challenge, Mae Young, NXT, and Rock's Theory, about Bray Wyatt, who is just permanently missing and will never, ever return to me, ever.
Or if my theory is true, you know.
And what is thine theory?
We'll get to it.
Okay.
No, it's not time yet.
It's not time yet. He has to sit on it. He has to think of it, y'all.
No, I know. Legit. But it ties into something we're going to talk about. So let's get through the segments, shall we?
All right. Mixed Match Challenge.
It is time to mix it up.
You don't scare me, big boy. But you just listen to me and do exactly as I say, and we'll become Mixed Match Challenge champions. So put her there.
It's the Mixed Match Challenge recap.
So it was a tale of two styles of matches. One was a lot of fun, and one was, you know, a more serious matchup. The first one was a more serious matchup. Even if it had the most adorable bunch, duo of the bunch, it was Finn and Bayley taking on Braun Strowman and Ember Moon. This was a standard wrestling matchup. A lot of fun to watch. Really good. Team Braun got the win, or Monster Eclipse as they're being called. Fun little match.
I feel like you can't have Braun Strowman have fun in this, which is really sad because it.
Even though he had a lot of fun with Alexa. But because you now totally made him a heel, he really can't have it. And Ember's not that bubbly, fun-loving person. You know what I mean? She's more serious in the ring, if that makes sense.
No, but I feel like she could have fun in the ring. But yeah, it's like in terms of putting her in there with Bayley, it's probably not, you know, she's not going to run around and hug everybody. But yeah, it's like, okay, all right. I mean, it was fine. The match, like you said, was really, really good. I love the chemistry between Bayley and Finn. I hope they keep that going because they're adorable together. But yeah, I mean, this is, it was good. It was really good. It was just, there was nothing really to talk about in it. Because it was just like they didn't do any antics or anything like that.
But if you want antics, then you have the second one. It's AJ Styles and Charlotte Flair taking on R-Truth and Carmella. Carmella's now even rapping during the intro. I thought that was fun.
AJ's old. He has children.
So
he can't do a split.
He can't do it to a split. They did a dance break in the middle. And they all did a split. Including Charlotte. And then Charlotte was shaking her, you know, moneymakers while doing a split. And then it is like, oh god. The camera pans and he's like, oh god, I have to go down and do a split. And he tries, like, oh no, I have children. It was a lot of fun. R-Truth and Carmella work for the Mixed Match Challenge. So do Finn and Bayley. Imagine all four of them getting in a match together. That would be fun. Won't happen.
That would be hilarious.
Won't happen because they're on different brands. But a lot of fun. Team Styles got the win. Enjoyable.
Very enjoyable.
All right, what's next?
Up next, we have the Mae Young Classic.
It's time for this week's Mae Young Classic Catch-Up.
So we've hit episode 6 of the series. The second round matchups. Io Shirai took on Zeus6, right?
Yes.
It was a fine little match. Quality.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I mean, it's a good opening contest for the show.
Io Shirai got the W.
Go her. Go her.
Deanna Purrazzo took on Xia Li.
In a good match.
It was fine. There was one big flip move by Li. It was like, a little much, but you know, good stuff. Enjoyable. Deanna gets the win, moves on to the quarterfinals.
Wait, is that real?
What?
Keep going. I'm fact-checking something.
Tegan Knox took on Nicole Matthews. They were pointing out Knox's knee brace in this one. The interns boo, apparently. Who got the win? Tegan Knox did over Nicole Matthews.
Is this where she got hurt?
No, it's the next one.
Okay.
It's the next one. She'll face Rhea Ripley in the quarterfinals.
Oh my god, it's real.
Oh no.
Y'all, I have to get to Publix.
Oh no.
There is Hershey's and Reese's Peanut Butter Cup whipped cream. You will never see me ever again because of this.
And then in your main event, it was Caitlyn versus Mia Yim. I enjoyed this match.
I thought it was good. I mean, I thought everything on the show was really good. I didn't feel like you had a lot of like really, truly barn burners. But the girls definitely showed their stuff and were definitely fun to watch.
Yeah, fun to watch. Enjoyable. So here we go. It's Miko Satomura versus Lacey Lane, Toni Storm versus Mia Yim, Tegan Knox versus Rhea Ripley, and Io Shirai versus Deanna Purrazzo in your quarterfinals beginning next week.
It's going to be really interesting what they show for Rhea Ripley and Tegan Knox.
It's going to be really interesting. But. It's about to be 31-6. Fly, Eagles, fly. That was the Mae Young Classic catch-up?
That was a Mae Young Classic catch-up. So now we have NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So, let's start. We'll run down the matches really quick. Keith Lee took on Kona Reeves. I'm still trying to figure out what Keith Lee is. But that's just me. I feel like he hasn't been in a long match. He's been in quick matches, 4 or 5 minute matches. Haven't really connected with him. At least that's me.
I need to see more of him. Like, I know he's really, really good and he's super impressive. But like you said, he just has not been in a long match. They haven't given him really an quality opponent up until this time with Kona Reeves. So it's just kind of been difficult to get a grasp of him and figure out who he is. Because right now I just kind of am comparing him to Apollo Crews because I feel like that's the closest comparison I have. But until I see what he can do, because I understand it's absolutely amazing, I don't have a basis for comparison because I've never actually seen him wrestle before. This is my introduction to him is NXT. I know he was out on the indies. I think he was actually in the indies in Georgia, which is terrible for me, but because I never saw him. But like, it's just, this is the intro, and so far it's like I'm wanting to see more. Like, I'm very, very curious, but I'm just not getting it, and I'd like to. So here's hoping they get him embroiled in a feud, which it feels like they're starting to, and they're able to get him in those longer, really impressive matches.
We had a Shayna Baszler training video. We had a Kairi Sane press conference, both setting up their match at Evolution.
Ding!
And then an awesome main event, Ricochet, Adam Cole, and Pete Dunne for the NXT North American Championship.
They tried to kill the IWC's ovaries with this. I think they succeeded.
I think so, too.
I'm pretty sure there are plenty of fanboys who are pregnant right now because of this match.
Possibly. Really good match. Ricochet retaining his championship. Hell of a main event. But then, there's what opened the show. Yeah, the champion, Tommaso Ciampa, talked about his awesome music. Talked about the Velveteen Dream. Velveteen Dream came out. Dream mocked Ciampa's claim of being the greatest sports entertainer. Dream said he also doesn't like Ciampa's threats and that Ciampa thinks he's a bad, bad man. Dream said the championship needs a real experience and not the guilt trip of a bald man with insecurities. Ciampa said he may be an angry bald man, but he's an angry bald man with a shiny title belt. Ciampa said he thinks that Dream wants the spotlight and the NXT title. He said Ciampa said he doesn't think Dream thinks Ciampa attacked Black, but rather likes the attention. And Ciampa told Dream to, you know, admit it. And Ciampa said, like, the title is telling Ciampa that Dream may not be tough enough to admit it. Get it? The dream isn't tough enough.
Nice little shot. Everybody enjoyed it, including Dream.
Dream said he isn't just tough enough, but he's man enough. He said he may be more man than Chiempa can handle. And at this point, Nikki Cross came out.
They were very confused why Nikki Cross was there.
The fans were chanting, triple threat, triple threat.
I think she was on board for that.
She was rubbing up against Velveteen and Chiempa. And he's like, the crowd starts chanting, Nikki knows a secret. And she starts dancing along with it. And then Dream is like weirded out a little bit, and then she stared at Ciampa's belt. Dream walked away, and then Ciampa was about to say something. She smacks the microphone out of his hands. I think he does it twice, and he's like, she goes, I know a secret. I know what you did. I loved it.
I love what they're doing with her. I just love, and I love how nobody on that roster knows what to do with her. Like, she's just that wild card that you just really... It's like Tommaso was so confused by her. He didn't know how to react to her. He didn't know what to do with her. Dream was the same way. She's just... She throws you so much off kilter. It's like, what are you? How do I even deal with you? And it's just... I love this character. I love how she plays it. It's just so freaking good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's so good, and it's, I like her integration into the storyline where it's like, she knows who did it. She saw it, the whole thing. She knows, but nobody can get the secret out of her because she's crazy. Or is she?
Backstage, William Regal was by his locker room. Apparently, Giants just scored. Yay.
They got him, let him make a little bit of comeback.
Yeah. Saquon Barkley got a touchdown. Cash is Ono and Regal were talking, and Ono's still waiting for his new toy. And then Nikki Cross shows up and tells Ono, I know what you did. So it's like, interesting. So, I have a question for you.
Hmm.
By the way, that's the next thing.
Good show. Very good show. Main event was amazing. If you missed it, go watch it.
Who is the one who attacked Aleister Black?
I don't know.
Bray Wyatt.
They're sending Bray Wyatt back to NXT?
Hear me out.
Okay. All right. I want to hear this.
Here's my theory. Because I was asked this question earlier. Who is the one, in a professional opinion, who's the one who attacked him? So, when was the last time we saw Bray Wyatt?
2 months ago.
The week before SummerSlam, correct?
Yes.
Isn't that around the same time was the last time we saw Aleister Black?
Yeah.
Takeover week.
Takeover week, yeah, but Aleister, it was after Takeover.
No, he was taken out before Takeover because he was supposed to be in the main event.
That's right.
So Bray's been gone since that point. So was Aleister. This mystery man hasn't been seen. He's been keeping a low profile. No one knows who it is but Nikki Cross. What if Bray aligns himself with Nikki in NXT?
I wouldn't be opposed to that, but again, you're going to send Bray Wyatt back down to NXT.
Isn't that the more popular show in terms of the internet fan? Isn't that the best place to rebuild Bray Wyatt, to give him focus instead of being lost on Monday Night Raw?
You could send him to SmackDown.
You could, but how cool would it be if he was the one who took out Aleister Black?
Oh, it would be really, really cool. And you have Aleister chase him up to the main roster. But, I mean, it's... I don't know how feasible that is, because I feel like it's not going to be Bray. I feel like it is going to be Johnny, who took him out to get to Tommaso.
Oh, probably. It's probably someone down there. See, but it was like, what if? It's a what if. What if Bray goes back and sort of causes some chaos in a place where he can cause chaos? It really isn't a step down, because look at all the great talent down in NXT.
Oh, I know. And I'm not saying it's a step down. We've seen other people show up. Like, Tony Nese showed up a couple weeks ago. So it's entirely feasible that Bray could go back down there. And they do that from time to time, where they'll bring in main roster talent to feud with people, especially if, you know, they're saving something special for later. So it could be that it's like, yeah, you need an opponent for Aleister Black.
But
bring in Bray Wyatt to do it.
But imagine what a really good match with Aleister Black would do for Bray Wyatt. Imagine that.
Oh, I don't disagree. I feel like it would be good. I feel like it would be great. I mean, they could have a wonderful feud. Robbinsdale's finest. Does he revert back to Husky Harris if he goes back to NXT? No! No, he does not!
Husky Harris is R.I.P.
Yeah, Husky Harris is,
dead.
Gone.
But it's a theory. It's not a plausible one. But it's a theory. Never said it was a good theory.
It's entirely plausible, but I don't think that's what's going to happen. I feel like it is going to be Johnny Gargano, and because it's like, what's going to happen is Johnny's going to be like, oh, hey, look, I rebuilt myself. I'm a model person now, and Aleister Black's going to come out and look at him and be like, you bastard. You did it. You attacked me. It's going to be that Austin, I guess, Rikishi moment all over again. I don't know. Not that.
I did it for the Candace.
He did it for the people. He did it for the Candace. I mean, I don't know. I find it interesting. I don't know how they would pull that off. I don't know if they could pull that off, because why would Bray attack Aleister?
Oh, come on.
Look, if he's going to bang anybody on that roster, it's going to be Ricochet, okay? They're all in love with him, so I don't think that's it. If anything, I could see Bray and Aleister actually aligning.
That's possible, too.
That would be an interesting duo, especially seeing as I think they want Bray in a tag team right now. I don't know, though.
I don't know. No, he's going to come back as a single, so, but I'm saying it would be a good run for Bray Wyatt. We'll see. I'm completely just throwing something out there.
I just want him back on my TV.
I know.
Okay? He's missing. He's been gone for 2 months. I have gone into withdrawal. I get really excited when he pops up for 2 seconds on Total Divas. Like, that is to the point that I'm at. He's disappeared off all social. Where is this man? Somebody go find him. I put his face on a milk carton with Photoshop. That should tell you the level of desperation I have reached. Somebody, anybody, go find him. Please.
Okay. I love that Brent sent me something like a little bit ago of the same exact theory I proposed. Seeing I just saw his message. See?
He just stole it. Brent, he stole your stuff.
No, I legit didn't. Because I just saw his message.
I don't think the wife got the Husky Horace settlement. The Husky Harris
Horace
settlement.
Hogan, brother. Anyway.
Got a break. Yeah, that was a pretty ugly, it seems like, fight. So I'm pretty sure she got paid for that one, but I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I'm just speculating. But yeah, I would say she, yeah. Yeah.
Let's go to break.
Brent, you can go find him. Just push him in front of TV and let him stand there for 5 minutes, okay? Before you do your thing. Anyway. When we come back, because we're taking our second and final break of the evening, we will be talking all about WWE Super Showdown, and we'll be doing Tweet of the Week. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. And I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, you're going to put something on that list. Why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours?
I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/rackradioshow.
Hey, this is Ken and Anita Corsini from Flipper Flop Atlanta. Check out the Rack Radio Show.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at GearWork.net, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at 5booth.com as well. And while you heard the bumper, we talked to Ken and Anita Corsini from HGTV's Flip or Flop Atlanta, their new season debut tonight. So you can catch that on replays on HGTV or on demand, I think, with your cable provider. And if you want to, you can listen to our interview. We talked all things about the new season, Atlanta in general, a little UGA football, and some other things. So it's available for your listening pleasure in the Twitch replays and also RackRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com too. So with that, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Courage. Lupo has been sending exclusive selfies to Ninja and has now confirmed he has feelings for Hamlins. This is what heartbreak feels like. Looking for a new duo, I guess. Sad face. Aw, poor Courage. They're all so in love with Lupo. And I don't know why. Well, I do know why, because he's amazing, but it's adorable.
Okay, do you have the reply to that?
I have the whole conversation, I just don't have it in sequence.
Okay, keep going.
So, because for whatever reason, Twitter now does not display things in the whole freaking sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Courage, Khabib beat McGregor, yeah, big deal, lol, but his
team
will
ever... No, hold on. Then let me jump in. I'll give you the one reply to that.
Okay.
That counts the most in audio form.
Courage, listen. All right. You have nothing to worry about. It's just a phase. All right. Hamlin's is, he's too short. Right. And Ninja's like, he's skinny. You know what I'm talking about. You have nothing to worry about. Okay. I promise you. I gotta go.
That was somebody knocking on his office door, by the way.
Yep.
These boys, I swear to God. All right, anyway, Khabib beat McGregor, yeah, big deal, lol, but has he ever won 1,576 Fortnite games? What an idiot. Courage, it's 5:27 a.m., good night, I need Jesus. Courage, by the way, he went to Vegas for the UFC fight.
Yeah, he was there for the thing.
Courage, I was going while gambling, and then I wasn't. Don't gamble, no V-Bucks for anyone, I'm sorry. I'm going to eat chicken fingers and attend church tomorrow. Hamlins, I'm low-key scared of how many people... gonna actually try to kiss me on the mouth at TwitchCon. Dr. Lupo, I'm first. Courage, you serious after all we've been through?
And then there was the reply. Yep.
Hamlin's my man now. Zeke Mattis. Wait, this is happening? We already kissed on the summer skirmish, so what's going on? I love these boys so much. Mm-hmm. They make me so happy. Finn Balor posts a picture of him and Bailey and just goes B&B. Stu Bennett, aka Wade Barrett, replies with a picture of himself. Balor replies, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Balor. I think that's how you say it. And Bennett replies with a picture of him laughing and smiling and banging his gavel.
I've got some bad news.
What is life anymore? What is life? Wrestlers and video gamers, they're a weird bunch.
It's a weird
and
bunch.
And I love them.
It's a weird bunch.
Anyway, all right.
Good?
I'm good.
Vegas update from Courage. Wild success so far. I'm at the all-you-can-eat buffet with Hector. I just had a most random mix of food ever on my plate, and I couldn't be happier. Drake concert tonight. Excited is an understatement. Tim the Tap Man. Sounds lit. Courage. My plan is to have enough Miller Lights tonight to drunkenly get hand tats of my favorite Tim emotes. Shayna Baszler. Habib gets stripped. Conor vs. Ferguson for vacant title. Conor wins. Enter Habib after layoff. But rematches Hell in a Cell. Habib can't leave. His faction can't enter. Downside, UFC makes money, but doesn't pay the fighters. Oh, Shayna. Mina Kimes. My God, the Rams O-line. Goff could make a sandwich back there. And not PB&J. Something fancy. With condiments.
Ew.
Liv Morgan. I bought a sandwich presser. I can't wait to go home and make a sandwich.
Understandable. Relatable.
Liv Morgan. I bought a cast iron skillet. Because Chopped.
Well, everybody should have a cast iron skillet. Those are handy things to have. If you don't have one, you can go pick one up for cheap at Target. They're awesome to cook with.
And that's Tweet of the Week.
Alrighty, so now we are going to talk all about Super Showdown, which aired this past Saturday live, or for us, on demand, from Melbourne, Australia. It was a four-hour spectacular, and things happened.
Things happened. People won matches. People lost some matches.
We're not going to go through all the matches. We're just going to kind of hit the highlights. Because there was a lot.
So here's what
happened. We want to play Fortnite.
Here's the results. All right. Ready? Mm-hmm. New Day retained their titles against Sheamus and Cesaro. Good match. Charlotte beat Becky Lynch by disqualification, as told to you right here on the rack, in the SmackDown Women's Championship match.
Mole.
They had a match on SmackDown Live that ended in a double countout. The match on SmackDown was a lot better than the match at Super Showdown. Even though the Super Showdown match was really good. They ended in double countout and now will face off in a last women's standing match at Evolution.
By the way, the writers did have it wrong that it was not the first ever last women's standing match. I mean, technically you could say it's the last or the first one on Raw, or not on Raw, on the main roster. I'll get that right eventually. It's actually the second one because NXT did it first, but whatevs.
Oh, because I'm doing this, I might as well play this.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown Showdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Just so we officially hit that into the show. So there is that. You had John Cena and Bobby Lashley beat Kevin Owens and Elias. No real shock. John Cena didn't do anything but his six moves of doom, including the six move of doom. And he's now JBL.
Yeah, it's a little... He's actually kind of morphed into the love child of JBL and Tom Brady.
Peyton and Billy, the Iconics, beat Asuka and Naomi. The Iconics were over, not extremely over, but they were over in their hometown and they got their win in their hometown.
Which is nice.
AJ Styles retained the WWE Championship over Samoa Joe. Really good matchup. They sold the knee very well. AJ retains... Don't know where you go with Samoa Joe from here. On SmackDown, he lost a qualifying match to Jeff Hardy for the WWE World Cup, so he's selling a knee injury right now, so he'll be on the sidelines for the moment. Also on SmackDown Live, Randy Orton beat Big Show in your main event. Yes, that was the main event of episode 999, Big Show, Randy Orton. Randy Orton moved on in the World Cup qualifiers.
What year is this?
In the year 2000, anyway, Ronda Rousey, Nikki Bella, and Brie Bella beat the Riot Squad. No real shock. The best part was the finish, the double armbar.
That was pretty spectacular. Pretty darn spectacular.
You had a little tease between Rousey and Nikki, which, you know, played out on Monday Night Raw, as I told you it would.
Nikki, honey, we love you. She's going to rearrange your face. Don't.
It's a Bell illusion.
Okay.
Buddy Murphy walked out of Australia the new Cruiserweight champion. Cedric Alexander lost for the first time all year.
Which is surprising that they did that, but it's cool that they did that. Like, I'm not saying it was a bad surprise at all. It was a really nice one because that was one of the high points of the show when they had Buddy Murphy win in his home country. And I think in his hometown.
Hometown, yeah.
That was really, really nice that they let them do that. And honestly, it was really kind of time for a change with Cedric, I think, because he's had it since Mania.
He's been on a winning streak for almost a year. It made sense for him to lose. The follow-up was now he's on the downside. He lost on 205 Live, which saw the return of Mike Kanellis and Maria on the program as well. The Shield beat Braun Strowman, Drew McIntyre, and Dolph Ziggler in a six-man tag. We saw the 50-50 booking come back on Monday Night Raw. Where is Dean Ambrose even a part of the Shield anymore? Guess we'll tune into Monday Night Raw to find out. Daniel Bryan beat The Miz in surprising fashion with an inside cradle to become number one contender and will fight AJ at Crown Jewel for the championship.
A lot of people had a problem with this match just because it was so fast and it was so sudden the way that it ended. From what I'm understanding, they did it as a way to make fun of Miz on SmackDown. That, oh, hey, look, you lost to Daniel Bryan in like 5 seconds.
I liked the finish. I thought it was different because, again, if they're building to a big match, you don't need to waste time here.
No, I mean, it's a nice tease. You can continue it on later. And again, yeah, like you said, we don't need the big match right now. They don't need to have epic classics every time they wrestle because people are going to get tired of it. So it's like, yeah, you have Daniel Bryan get his quick, almost really cheap win here, where it's like, hey, yeah, look, I beat The Miz. But it's like, did you really? Because you beat him in kind of a cheap fashion. So now it's Miz can come back and cost Bryan the match and the feud can continue. So I like how they did this. I know a lot of people weren't a fan of it, but I enjoyed it. I thought this was fine.
And apparently The Miz called dibs. He has next whoever wins in the AJ Styles Daniel Bryan match, as told on SmackDown.
Yep.
And then in your main event, the match we really wanted to actually sit here and break down,
The Undertaker
with Kane took on Triple H with Shawn Michaels. I'll let you go.
Hunter, you dick. You wonderful, fabulous dick. So going into this match, there was no stip, there was no nothing. Everybody gets there. Taker's there in his full glory. Hunter and Sean are there in their full glory. Kane's just kind of there, but that's okay. He made the flight. Very much appreciate it.
By the way, before you even start, it's weird that Kane doesn't shave his chest hair anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, I know, I get why he's not going to do it, because, like, he's done with this, and he goes back to being mayor, and, you know, it could be a little weird that your chest is shaved.
But if you're married, no one would even say it.
They can't get him a shirt? I mean, I'm not opposed to it at all, but it's just, like, it's just a little weird, that's all. Like, it's fine, but it's just weird.
It was weird. It was like, I saw the previous Monday, I was like, okay, I figure, okay, for the Monday, he won't do it, for I figured for the pay-per-view, he would do it. Oh, no, he didn't. So anyway, I digress. Go.
So everybody's there. They're getting ready to start. And then all of a sudden, JoJo goes, this match is a no disqualification match. And everybody goes, wait, what? And Hunter and Sean just grin from ear to ear. It's like, oh, Hunter, honey, you used that COO power to get that match changed, didn't you? And the look Taker gave him. I need that as a reaction gift. I really, really do. I need that for everything in my life in terms of a reaction gift, because he was like, you bitch. Just, that's exactly what that look was. He's like, fine, we're gonna fight now. And they fought and they had a good match.
Okay, so I want to break things down early, right? Hunter is like, he's being all cocky as hell. He's telling Undertaker, come on, Throw punches. And he keeps dodging out of the way. At one point, he puts his hand behind his back. Come on, hit me. Hunter feels all good about himself, and then Taker just wallops him.
Yeah. Hunter's trying to screw with Taker, and Taker's just like, you made this man fly halfway across the world to fight you, and you're gonna tease him. First you changed the match on him. Well, let's back that up. First he had to fly, and it's a long flight. It's like a 20-hour flight, so you know when he got there he was grumpy as hell. Mm-hmm. And then you changed the match on him, which did nothing to improve his overall mood or outlook. And now you're screwing with him. What? How many times have you faced him? Don't you know better by now that you don't screw with him? You don't do any of the above either, but you especially don't just toy with him.
I love that Hunter went for old school because he stopped Taker from doing it. And Hunter's like, I can do it. I can do this easy. And then he couldn't because Taker cut him off.
Like, I liked how they screwed with each other in this match. I liked how cocky Hunter was in this, where it's Hunter and Sean had a plan. They walked into this with a plan. They knew exactly what they were going to do. And I feel like, honestly, knowing the way that the match turned out, I feel like this was a no-win situation for The Undertaker, because one way or another, Hunter was going to beat him. Whether he beat him clean or whether he beat him like a jerk, Hunter was going to beat The Undertaker. He was not leaving Australia with a loss. That means he has to restart the match 20 times to make it happen. By God. That's what's gonna happen. You know, it's one of those types of situations where it's like he is COO, and god damn it, he's gonna use that power. And if somebody has a problem with it, he will go get his wife.
One of the interesting points of this matchup was a man not physically in the matchup, but was the MVP of the matchup. And that's Shawn Michaels.
Oh god, Shawn Michaels is so good at what he does.
Him trying to interfere, him getting close, and then Taker, like, backing him off. His scared reactions to Taker were tremendous. He would get involved, he pushed Taker into the post at one point. He got his little shots in, he helped put Kane through a table.
Yeah, Kane was there, but Kane was really kind of almost a non-factor in this match.
No, he really wasn't.
Because I think, again, he was there to be there and in support of his brother, but Kane was really trying to stay out of the match as much as possible. Like, when Sean got involved, obviously Kane, you know, got involved, but for the most part, Kane stayed out of it. Because it's, Taker's got this, I'm here for moral support, and in case Sean tries something. And that's all I'm really here for. And also, dude has a regular job now. He doesn't need to be getting in the ring and wrestling and potentially hurting himself. So I feel like he just is like, look, I'll come to Australia, I'll do the thing, but I'm not really getting terribly physical. But props to him for going through the table.
They went through the crowd at one point. There was only one bad spot when they were in the crowd where Taker was going to try to do a move and couldn't do the move and look really awkward.
Thank you, Rock.
You're welcome.
I'm saying that.
Beyond that, it was a really fun match. You had a ref bump where Taker's like, oh, he kicked out a move, Mike Chioda, bam, you're dead. It was really fun. Could have been better. Yeah, but they're both fit. Taker's really old at this point, and he's working a main event match.
Taker's 53. Hunter's, I think, in his late 40s. Actually, is Hunter 50?
No, Hunter's not 50 yet. He's either 48 or 49.
He's close. He's 49 years old. So next year he will be 50. Sean's
53.
Sean and Taker are the same age. And Kane, I think, is 50. So, you know, you're not going to get the barn burner of the past. You're not going to get the end of the era match. I will say Taker looked really good. He was moving really well.
Okay. Speaking of him moving really well, there was a couple moments where he looked at a top rope and went, I'm like, telling TV, Taker, no. Taker, no. And then there was a moment where he's like, they're down on the outside. They're on the outside. I know a move I can do. And it's like, Taker, no. Do not dive over those ropes. Do not even try to lift your body up that high.
I love how they go for that spot and they now have a way to cut that spot off. Like, they tease that dive so hard, and then something always happens to stop it. Like, I feel like the last time he did that dive, which I want to say was with Sean, where he just, like, planted his head on the mat, they were like, okay, that's it, you're done. You were never doing that move ever again. And so now, every time he goes for it, he gets stopped. Like, just something stops him that to cut that spot off. I love that so much. They're like, Mark, no. But, I mean, I enjoyed this. I thought this was great. What made it, though, was really what happened after the match. So,
hold on. Let's do the finish, all right?
Okay.
Before we get to that. So, Sean gets involved. Taker has him up for a tombstone. But Hunter hits him with the sledgehammer. Pedigree, 1, 2, 3, gets the win. There were a couple spots where it was like sledgehammer versus chair. Sean shining up that sledgehammer for Hunter, which was great. It was a great, you know, it was a really good match. It was really enjoyable. Like, I know people might hate on it, but God, it's just, if you are invested in these people like we are, you'll, like, look past some of the shortcomings and the slowness and what have you. But it was really good.
There's a lot you can forgive with a good story, and they told a good story here. And I think a lot of people walked into this knowing this was not going to be absolutely, this was not going to be what it was in the past. Because again, age and just physical prowess, the fact that, you know, Taker at least has at least 28 years with the WWE, so probably over 30 years wear and tear in the wrestling business on him at this point. Hunter's probably close to that as well, although Hunter's a little bit more well rested. I think he's in a little bit better shape than Taker, but probably not by much. I mean, you've got that factoring in, and it's like, if you forgive that, this was a really, really good match. I think anybody expecting this to be like, you know, end of an era quality, maybe had their expectations a little bit too high. I don't know, but I enjoyed this.
This is the longest match he's worked since the match with Roman Reigns.
Yeah, it is. And he was in better shape for this. Like, he had better cardio for this.
He was in a lot better shape. And this matchup was a lot better. He was healthier for this match than he was with Roman Reigns. I think this was even longer than the match with Roman. Like, Taker was really, really good.
Taker was trying really, really hard in this, you could tell. Like, this whole feud had Taker's interest, and he was trying really hard. And that's what made it good, was Taker was invested in it, or the character was invested in it. I'm sure Mark Calloway is invested in everything he does. But it's just the character felt a part of it because he was there so much. He was involved. Whereas in the past, it's like he shows up one time for WrestleMania and that's it. You know, and maybe he shows up another time to accept the match or challenge or whatever, and then we never see him again. So the fact that he was on Raw a handful of times, the fact that, you know, you had as much interaction that you did, I feel like really made this. And the fact that this is continuing, this is not a one-off, and that's, I feel like, is what really made this. Because after the match, you have Hunter celebrating. He's all teary-eyed. Sean's like, oh my God, you won! Which, it's like, really? Was there ever a doubt that Hunter wasn't going to win this match? I mean, come on. Come on. Really? Hunter was going to make sure he won. And Taker's just laying there, like, doing the math in his head. And he's like, God damn it. And so, you know, they're celebrating. And Taker's laying there. And I'm going, Hunter, pick him up. Help him up. He dragged your carcass out of a cell. The least you can do is pick him up. And Hunter goes to pick him up, does a head bump, and he's like, hey man, we'll call it a draw.
I don't think he said that.
No, he did.
Did he?
He said something to that effect, because I heard, well, you know, let's call it a draw or something like that.
So they're all celebrating. It's all teary moment. And then there's a look between Kane and The Undertaker. And the old big evil comes out of The Undertaker. Kane lays out Shawn with a right, and The Undertaker tombstones Triple H. And then Shawn looks up at a dead man and knows he is screwed.
It's like, Shawn, run!
And then they get Shawn to the outside, and they chokeslam Shawn through an announce table.
And you have Taker and Kane walk away completely unapologetic, heads held high. I loved how they did this. And of course, we all know the result, which is Shawn Michaels stewed on an airplane, probably staring at the back of The Undertaker's head the entire flight, and got off the plane in Chicago and decided, you know what? I'm going to come out of retirement, and Hunter and Shawn are going to face the Brothers of Destruction at Crown Jewel on November 2nd. And the internet imploded on itself when Shawn Michaels came out of retirement. We imploded too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so overall, I felt like Super Showdown was a good show. It was an enjoyable show. Again, because it was on demand, I was able to watch it in pieces. So I was able to get, like, you know, basically watch it in like an hour at a shot to sort of get fresh eyes every hour, which was nice. And kind of soak in and absorb what that previous hour was. But yeah, I thought this was good. They had a couple big surprises, but overall it kind of went as I feel like everybody expected it to, which is good. That's what you want.
Yeah, that's what you want.
And the crowd was good. The crowd was fun. I mean, I don't necessarily have any complaints about the show.
No, I really didn't have any complaints.
You know, other than it didn't have Bray Wyatt on it.
Other than it didn't have Bray Wyatt on it.
He was on the poster. He was not on the show. Where is he?
I went 8-2. You went 7-3. The 8 ball went 4-6.
Brent, why are you still at work? We have things to do in Fortnite. Get home. Now. You can stop for food if you want, but get home.
So, I enjoyed the show. I'm looking forward to what happens with Sean coming up. Bray is still in Hardy's Lake. I think.
No. Abigail is technically in Hardy's Lake. Bray is, I don't know where. I don't know. Honestly, I have a theory of where he is, but it's not a PG one, and I can't say it on the air. But yeah, I don't know where Bray is. And I'm getting increasingly frustrated that Bray is not on TV, because he's one of the main reasons that I watch Raw, other than the fact that we do a show about it. So him not being there is like, what the hell? And I get Taker's on it, and Taker's a good substitute, but Taker's not going to be there forever. And in the meantime, where is my slut? Where is he? I need him.
So going back, The Undertaker is back. Sean's back. Big confrontation coming. But that's Super Showdown. Really enjoyable show. Easy to watch. That's the best thing I could say. Easy to watch.
Robbinsdale, you have no idea how much I want that feud. You just... I was so excited when the B-Team and the Leaders of Worlds finally came together and Bray and Bo fought each other. I want that as a single match, and then I want Bo to, like, wake, get smacked and look at Bray and go, oh my god, brother, and then he chases him around the ring. With Bray going, no, 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 get off me, I'm not your brother. I want that so much in my life. But yes, huge confrontation coming between Shawn and The Undertaker.
That's our show.
That's our show, so you have stuff to plug.
Saturday night, midnight dish is CB Radio, cbradiolive.com. Sunday night, if they have stuff to talk about, Wrestle Talk Radio. Monday night, it's Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Check out the record reviews, Total Divas Season 8, Episode 4 now available. Episode 5 will be available on Thursday. Check out WWE 2K19 coverage on twitch.tv/WTRLive. We're playing through with the My Career mode, all archived right now at twitch.tv/WTRLive. Also, check out the Rack Extra interviews, the Corsinis, Flipper Flop Atlanta. It's available now in the on-demand section here at Twitch, and available at Rack Radio Show and Wild Talk Radio.com. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow, subscribe, twitch.tv/WTR Live. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern for The Rack. It's Rack Radio Show on all favorite social media platforms. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. You know the deal. It's Rack Radio Show, Instagram, Twitter, and the Facebook.
You follow me on the social medias at Linsward, LANSWRD. Go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com, and if you like my artwork, if you want to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitters. And like Rock said, check out our interview with the Corsinis, because it was a lot of fun, and I want everybody to listen to it, because it's from my hometown, and I'm very proud of my hometown, even if our football team sucks. So also, don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211, fightfoot.com, gerwick.net. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com. Stay tuned, because in just a few minutes, after a quick hiatus, we're going to get the squad together, and we are going to do Fortnite with friends in some capacity. So if you're interested in that type of thing, stay tuned. If not, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.